ready for that? Are we going to follow Jesus in spite of all that? That's a good question to ponder. But these people who were down on Jesus had actually a good reason to praise him, because they had witnessed, they had heard about directly an amazing miracle that Jesus worked. We talked about that at the beginning of John chapter 9. There was that man who had been born blind. And so you think about this man on his journey through life. And as a child, he could not see. As a teenager, he could not see. As an adult, he could not see. He had never seen the light of day. And yet, by his supernatural power, as the very Son of God, the great I Am, made flesh and dwelling among us, Jesus healed him. He opened the eyes of the blind man. And yes, that miracle backed up Jesus' claim in John 8:12 and 9:5 when he said, I am the light of the world. And yet, even with those miracles, not everyone was applauding Jesus. If you read John 9, you'll find that they accused the man Jesus healed of having been faking it. I mean, how could he have been faking it all his life, right? Being blind, but you weren't really blind, you're just pretending. And when the man Jesus healed didn't agree with them about that, you know what they did? The Pharisees, they excommunicated him. They kicked him out of the synagogue, which didn't just mean they like grabbed him and threw him out the door. No. They were excluding him from a lot of the benefits of being part of a community. It's like, don't do business with this guy. Exclude him. We've kicked him out. Well, that's where our scripture reading this morning picks up, in John 9, verse 35. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What? Are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice, but they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief only comes to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Let's pray. Oh Lord, thank you for giving us this teaching. Thank you for not being so discouraged by your critics that you abandoned your mission. But Lord Jesus, thank you for following through, though it meant going to the cross. Oh Lord, we pray that now by your Spirit you would open our hearts to receive this wonderful teaching that you have given to us, and we pray this in your name. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, as we dig into these verses, notice with me right away a couple of things. First of all, notice that I'll be using this morning the word door and gate interchangeably. Both English words can be used to translate the word that's in the original text. But when we say gate and door, actually, please don't think of that as like the gate that closes or a door that closes as a barrier, but think of it as the gateway. Think of it as the doorway, right? So that you and I may enter, Second, we notice that Jesus in this passage repeated the same word, and he did so twice. In the original, it's the Greek word amen, which comes from the Hebrew, which sounds a lot like that. And boy, our English word sounds a lot like that too, right? Amen. Amen. We say that now and then. But when Jesus used this word and repeated it, it conveyed the idea of firm and utter truthfulness. And so it's not just certainty, but it's like certainty upon certainty. And so it's like he was saying to his friends, he was saying, listen up. And even to his critics, he was saying, pay attention now. What I'm going to tell you is really, really important, and it is absolutely true. Now, the old King James translation had it like this. Jesus would say, verily, verily, I say unto you. Other translations might say, truly, truly, I say to you. The version we read this morning, I'm telling you the truth, but notice the emphasis. This is on truth, truth. Pay attention. This is important. Like we said, our focus this morning will mostly be on our reading from John 10. And there Jesus shared a brief parable. And since the people didn't catch on, he took a little time also to explain it. And so the parable, as we read, is about entering a sheep pen. Now, in Bible times, a sheep pen was a very simple structure, usually made up of, well, rocks or branches, or maybe, as in this picture, a combination of rocks and branches. Now, in one of the sides, there would be an opening. And a key thing to note is that there is only one opening. There's a wall, a barrier all around, but there is one opening. And it was through that single opening that a shepherd would enter and bring his sheep with him into the sheep pen. Now, I know nothing about raising sheep, and so I have no idea how high the wall needed to be to keep the sheep from, you know, jumping out so they wouldn't wander off and maybe be torn by a wolf or something like that. But I think what you see gives us a pretty good idea of what a sheep pen in Bible times would have been like, right? There's no roof, but the shepherd would bring his sheep in, and in the morning he would lead them out, where he would bring them to food and drink and so forth. Of course, as Jesus said, more than one shepherd could use the same sheep pen, because in the morning when the shepherd would come to collect his sheep, he would call out to them, or perhaps even calling each sheep by name. And when the sheep heard his voice, they would run and hide. Oh, no, no. They loved their shepherd because they knew the shepherd would be taking such good care of them. And so they would respond to his call, and they would walk through the gate, through the door with him, entering, exiting, following the sheep or the shepherd through the gate. Well, the people didn't really catch on to what Jesus was getting at, and so he did explain this parable to them. And he explained, we see in verses 7 and 8, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep, and all who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. Now, we've already stressed this, but we're going to emphasize this just a little bit more, that there is only one gate, only one door to the sheep pen. However, there were two possible ways to get inside. A person could either enter through the doorway or could try to get in by climbing over the wall. Now, the shepherd who cared for his sheep would never climb over the wall. He would simply walk through the gate, leading the sheep in and out. But a thief or a robber, in order to steal a sheep, or maybe kill or destroy a sheep, might indeed, in the stillness of the night, when the watchman by the gate might be dozing off a little bit, might quietly try to climb in over the wall and make off with a sheep, or even more than one sheep. And in this way, Jesus compared some people to thieves and robbers, starting with the Pharisees, who had just called Jesus a sinner and had just thrown the man Jesus healed, they'd just thrown him out of their synagogue. Now again, when Jesus said, "I am the door," this meant that anyone who rejected him was not going to enter through the gate, but would be trying to steal sheep coming over the wall. See what Jesus was getting at? It's kind of simple, but for those that Jesus was saying, "You're like a thief and a robber," I'm sure they didn't want to hear this. And yet it's true. Anyone who would try to keep you or me or anybody else from following Jesus is like a thief and a robber. Jesus said over in John 14 something very similar to this when he said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." Now, this is really good news if you think about it. The good news is this: there is a way. There is a door, there is a gate, and it's open for us in Christ. There is a way for you and me to come to God the Father, to have fellowship with him, to know that we, by God's grace, in Christ, now have peace with him. There is a way to approach God knowing that he's not going to reject us, but we come in the name of Jesus, our worthy Savior, who shares with us the value of his sacrificial death and his glorious resurrection. There is a way for us to enter into fellowship with God and to know that we have peace with him forever. And yet, there are so many who take offense at this beautiful, wonderful teaching. I think in part, people take offense, and left to ourselves, we would too, because we like options. You ever notice that? We like options. I think that's why when you go to the grocery store, you don't just find canned green beans. You find different brands and different varieties. You've got cut beans. You've got snibunches. If you don't know what that means, I'll tell you later. You've got whole beans. You've got all kinds of beans. And why? Well, we like options. And there's even different brands, you know, the store brand and all these other brands. And we just love options. If you had no options, would you go to that store? Probably not. You go to buy a car, you go to a car dealer. You like options. You don't want to just have to buy a car. You want to buy, well, the one that appeals to you, because you've got your own likes and dislikes. And speaking of grocery stores and options, you ever notice how long the cereal aisle is? It's incredible. Cereal. Who knew you could make that many kinds of cereal? We like options. And it's not just because we have different tastes. You ever notice this? When you have an option and you get to choose, you have just a little sense of power, right? I'm in charge of my destiny. I'm in charge of what I'm going to eat for breakfast, you know, cream puffs or something else. We like options. And so when we hear Jesus say, even today, when we hear him say, "I am the door," or "I am the way, the truth, and the life," there's something about that that we just don't like. We want options. Because what if the way of following Jesus doesn't really appeal to us after all? We want options. And yet, The truth of the matter is that when it comes to the most important thing of all, having peace with God, there aren't options. There's Jesus. There's one way. There's the door. There's the gate. As 1 Timothy 2, verse 5 says so plainly, there is one God, and there's one mediator between God and man, and it's the man, Christ Jesus. And so in our passage from John 10, in verse 8, Jesus went on to say, all who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. That doesn't mean that Moses and David and so forth were thieves and robbers, but Jesus was pointing out the fact that before he came on the scene as the Messiah, there were false messiahs, people who claimed to be the Messiah. And they gathered people around them, and maybe they tried to overthrow the Roman government and reestablish Israel as a kingdom, but they weren't really leading people back to God. They weren't really drawing people into fellowship with God. And so Jesus also said that they were like thieves and robbers, but there is only one true Messiah. There is only one Son of God made flesh, and his name is Jesus. And so again, being very plain, very, very clear about this, in verses 9 and 10, Jesus said, I am the door, or you could say, I am the gate. Again, it's not the barrier, it's the way, the doorway, the gateway. And whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. Notice in this the word whoever. Whoever. Isn't that a wonderfully inviting word? It's not like the grand opening promotion, you know, for a new store where the first 50 shoppers get a free gift, but if you're 51, you know, too bad, too late. Whoever. In this way, Jesus didn't exclude certain types of people. He didn't say, well, if you're rich enough, you'll be saved, or if your skin is the right color, you're welcome. He didn't say, if you've never told a lie, you can enter through the door. He didn't say, if you've never been in jail, or as long as you're not a Pharisee, or as long as you've never done so-and-so, as long as you've never been caught in a scandal. No, no, Jesus used this wonderfully inviting word, whoever. I like that word because it includes me. It includes you, whoever. Once upon a time, I was driving along and saw a sign in front of a church. You know how some church signs have clever sayings? And this one wasn't clever. It was actually, to me, it was very powerful because it said, God so loved the world. I know that is. That's John 3:16, right? God so loved the world, even you, even me. And I knew that before, but just seeing that, I was like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for this invitation, whoever. Whoever enters through this door will be saved. And so whether we're young or old today, whether we're new attenders of a church or we've been going to church all our lives, whether we bring just a little bit of baggage or a lot of baggage with us to the cross through the gospel, Jesus invites you, he invites me to come and follow him. And when you hear him say, whoever, oh dear friends, I hope you are hearing him call you by name. Do you hear the shepherd's voice this morning? When Jesus says, come, follow me, come with me, I am the door. I am the gate. I'm so glad that God didn't take back this invitation that we find here in John 10. In fact, we also find it in the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22. There we read that the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And let him who hears this say, "Come." Whoever, there's that word again, whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. Whoever, come. And with this invitation, there is a promise. Jesus said, "I came to give life, even life that is abundant. I came to give fullness of life to whoever enters through me." And we do well to wonder and to ask ourselves what that means, that Jesus would give us abundant life. We might like it to mean that if we're following Jesus, everything's going to go well for us. I mean, wouldn't that be an abundant life? Everything's going well. Always extra spending money in the bank account. Always healthy and never sick. Boy, you know what? When I was working on this sermon, I was sick this week. It wasn't any fun. And yet, I believed, as I was meditating on this scripture, that I was living an abundant life. Abundant, because in spite of what was going on in my innards, I knew I'm a child of God. I was secure in God's providence. I knew that God had a good reason for this yucky thing I was going through. And I knew that even if it was more than a stomach bug and I would die from it, I almost felt I was there for a minute, it was going to be okay because absent from the body, present with the Lord. Now, that is an abundant life. Plus, knowing that in our weaknesses, God's strength is magnified. And as Paul learned, God said to him after Paul had prayed, you know, once, twice, three times, "Lord, I got this thorn in my flesh. It hurts like crazy." Not a literal thorn, of course, but some kind of a disease or sickness. He prayed saying, "Lord, please take this from me." And God said to Paul, he said, no, but my grace will be enough for you. Now that's the abundant life, having God's grace with us, supporting us, sustaining us, carrying us when we don't think we can even take another step in the direction of the kingdom of God. Now that's the abundant life. Don't think of it as everything's going great, but think of it as courage, strength, vision. Yes, carried by God's grace. That makes it abundant. Oh, there are times when we have doubts. Oh, yes, too often we don't trust God the way we ought to. And sometimes we don't love each other the way we should. But as we follow Jesus, we have his promise here to guide us. And we know, because he's called us, that we are his sheep. And he's the shepherd. And he is ours. And we are his. And that's abundant life. Life to the full. Life that's overflowing because it just never runs out, because our Savior keeps pouring it into us in time and for eternity. Oh, yes, thieves will come to try to steal and kill and destroy, to try to lead you away from following Jesus. But he came to give you life, abundant life with God. Amen. Shall we pray? Lord, we are so thankful for your goodness and mercy to us, revealed in many ways, and especially through Christ, your Son, our Redeemer. We praise you, O God, that in the midst of this world where there is conflict and strife and sin, not just around us, but in our own hearts, you are yet merciful to us, and you call us to have new life in Christ. Oh, Lord, may nothing stand in the way of our following Jesus today and forever. Oh, Lord, bless us as we celebrate your goodness and mercy. May it overflow also in lives of grateful service. Hear us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.